لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. السلام حسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. In our first session last night, we talked about the necessity of having good examples and role models. We said that although as rational beings, being given theoretical instructions, being given some abstract description should be sufficient, but still having some examples, some practical explanations, some illustration in the form of life stories would be very, very much effective. It makes our understanding much better. It makes our motivation much higher. And we explain this to some extent. And then we say, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions stories. Although Quran is not a book of history, but Allah gives us stories because in these stories there is ibrah, there is lesson for us. Allah gives us examples of nations, of individuals, good or bad, so that we reflect, we ponder, and then we benefit for our own practice. Then we said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is introduced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a very good example, role model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Truly, in the Messenger of Allah, there is a good example for you, there is a good role model for you. And I said that Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself, in the night of Ashura, when was talking to Lady Zainab, said, لكل مسلم ولي, for every Muslim, men, women, and for me, Rasulullah is uswatun. So, Rasulullah is a great example for everyone. Everyone can benefit from this example. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind, so merciful, that He has given us more examples, more role models. We have our imams, we have Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Then after them, we have our pious scholars. We have pious mu'mineen, pious mu'minat. These can be, again, examples in different ranks. Sometimes we have good examples in the community. There are successful people in the community that everyone can look at them and learn from them. A very mu'mina lady, she's very good in her family life, she's very good in upbringing child, and she has some role in the community. I'm not saying every woman should work, but either they work or they are serving the community, they are doing some charity work, or just they look after their children and family, which is the most important thing. And we never should underestimate this great role of being a mother. This by itself is the great thing that a woman can do. So we can have women in our community who are good examples. We can have men who are good examples. We can have teenagers who are good examples. So we have a hierarchy of examples. Among the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, who are all infallible examples, who are all perfect examples, who are all the people that you can follow without hesitation, without being worried that whether he or she was right in this particular case or not. Because when someone is not ma'soom, we are worried. But with Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, we are not worried because they were ma'soom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept away from them any impurity. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحْرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Why? So that... So that we can follow them without any hesitation. When Allah says, أَتِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولُ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, He asks us to obey the Prophet and the Imams without any condition, without any hesitation. So this means that Allah has also Himself at the same time provided them with this immunity, with this Isma. Isma is a gift from Allah for the people who qualify for that gift. We say ma'soom. Ma'soom is the one who is saved and protected. Why he is saved and protected? Because he has done his best to protect himself. When you do your best to protect yourself, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come and help you. Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam purified themselves as much as possible for a human being, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even protected them from mistakes. I can protect myself from doing sins, but I cannot protect myself from doing mistakes, from forgetfulness. But because Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam 100% protected themselves from doing sins, then Allah even gifted them by taking them away from mistakes, from forgetfulness. So Isma is a gift, but a gift which comes with some qualification. So I cannot say, oh Allah, why you didn't make me ma'soom? If you had made me ma'soom, I would be the same. No. You were not in that level that you needed Isma. Still, there are many things that you knew and you didn't practice. Many things that you could do and you didn't do. But Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are the people that who did their best to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve Him, to be pure. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted them with Isma. And this is why Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ. Allah has made this will to remove from you. Why Allah has made this will for them and not for us? Because they did what they were supposed to do. And then Allah comes and takes over. Anyway, this is a discussion that inshallah somewhere else we should discuss. So, the point is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam perfect examples, perfect role models, so that we can follow, whether it would be in their social life or personal life, whether it would be before they become prophet and imam or after. You know that we have here some difference with our Sunni brothers. Our Sunni brothers believe in the Isma of the Prophet. Of course, they don't believe in the Isma of the successors of the Prophet. But when it comes to the Prophet, they believe in the Isma of the Prophet. But some of them say the Prophet is ma'soom only in his prophetic life. In his personal life, he's not ma'soom. Then they differ. Some of them, they say that prophets may do minor sins in their personal life. Some of them say they may do major sins unintentionally in their personal life. And all of them say before becoming prophet, they might have done sins. But we say no. A prophet, before he becomes prophet and after he becomes prophet, in his personal life and prophetic life is ma'soom. This is our understanding. Okay, so we have here a disagreement with our Sunni brothers. In any case, we believe that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Imams and Lady Fatima salamullah alayha. These are perfect role models. When I say perfect, I mean there is no exception. There is no worry, no hesitation, no reservation. You can say, refer to them 100%. But some of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam have a very special role designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is one of those special figures. Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif has also very special role to play. The role that Imam Mahdi is going to play, no person has ever played. No prophet, no successor to the prophet has ever played the role of Imam Mahdi. And that is to fulfill the purpose for which Allah has created humanity. This is a very important role that Imam Mahdi has, and this is why even Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "Lo adraktuhu lakhadamtuhu ayyam hayati." If I was in his time, I would have served him all my life. So, some of them have some historical roles. Imam Hussein alayhi salam has very special role. It is like a connection point between the Prophet and Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Or I can say he is a connection between all the prophets and Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Last night I mentioned for you this hadith, and I want to repeat, maybe some people, some brothers, sisters were not there last night, about one of the merits of ziyarah of Imam Hussein in the middle of Sha'ban. In the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, which belongs to Imam Zaman, one of the actions which are very highly recommended is ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then there is a hadith, which is authentic hadith, from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, and also from Imam Sadiq, both of them, we have this hadith. Whoever wants to shake hand with 124,000 prophets should visit Imam Hussein in Karbala in the night of the 15th of Sha'ban. What a beautiful connection. 124,000 prophets to be visited, to visit Imam Hussein, and 124,000 prophets shake hands with you in the night which is the birth of Imam Zaman. Prophets, Imam Hussein, Imam Zaman. There is another hadith from Imam Jawad alayhi salam. And this is about the night of 23rd of Ramadan, which is the most likely night to be the night of Qadr, 23rd. According to this hadith, it is said that if you visit Imam Hussein alayhi salam, then 124,000 prophet would shake hand, if I'm not mistaken. It's dark, I cannot read properly. Anyway, it's also the night of Qadr, and 124,000 prophets. Again, night of Qadr is the night which belongs to Imam Zaman. Yeah, because Imam Zaman is receiving all the angels and ruh, tanazzalul malaikatu wal ruh. So connection between Imam Zaman, Imam Hussein, and 124,000 prophets. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam has a very special role as a connection. Then I mentioned this hadith. This was the last point I mentioned. This hadith is mentioned in the book Ma'al al-Sibtain. According to this hadith, Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the night of Ashura told his companions, وَقَدْ قَالَ جَدِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. My grandfather, Messenger of Allah, has said this, وَلَدِي حُسَيْن يُقْتَلُ بِتَفْ كَرْبَلَا. My son Hussein will be killed in the plain of Karbala. غَرِيبًا وَحِيدًا عَتْشَانًا فَرِيدًا. He is alone. He has no helper. He is thirsty. فَمَنْ نَصَرَهُ. Whoever helps my son Hussein, grandson Hussein, in that situation, فَقَدْ نَصَرَنِي. He has helped me. وَنَصَرَ وَلَدَهُ الْحُجَّةِ. And he has also helped his son, Imam Mahdi. So we want to reflect on this. How helping Hussein is helping Rasulullah, and how helping Hussein is helping Imam Mahdi. The answer is that these are two sides of the same coin. These are not separated. Because Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif is going to accomplish the mission of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has sent the Prophet with his final message to guide humanity towards establishment of truth, virtues, security, peace, and especially justice on the earth. Who is going to do that? Who is going to accomplish that? Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. But if Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not playing his historical role, Yazid was not letting anything remain from the true message of the Prophet so that Imam Mahdi can come and accomplish. It's like a wire that we have to connect a power plant to a town. And a mischief maker wants to cut off this wire so that people live in darkness. No one can do anything, no one can study, no operation can take place in hospitals, nothing can happen. We need someone to connect this wire so that power, so that light, energy can go on. Yazid was not just a tyrant person, was not just a corrupt person. Before Yazid and after Yazid, there were many people who were corrupt. Yazid was a person who was going to totally destroy Islam. This didn't start with the time of Yazid, but Yazid was going to finish the job. Muawiyah, with all the problems that he had, still was observing the rulings of Islam. Actually, he was pretending to be very practicing and pious person. Even up to today, some people, you know, respect him. They call him Khalul Mu'minin. He's the uncle of the believers. You know, still they have respect for him because he was acting in the way that people think he's a religious person. Even you know that Muawiyah had asked Yazid not to put pressure on Imam Hussein to give bayah. And Yazid didn't listen to his own father. But with coming of Yazid, a big change was happening. One was that he was a person that had no respect for Islam publicly. Can you imagine a person who calls himself Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, Khalifatul Nabi, and then he doesn't observe Islam and make mockery of Islam? Even, you know, there is a saying of Muawiyah to Yazid, actually a writing, sent a message to Yazid, which says, when you were very young, when you were a child, you used to make us happy. But now, with the news I receive from you, you are making me always sad. Because people were reporting to him about all his mischief. And then Muawiyah says, Laytaka lam takun. I wish you were not born. The amount of mischief and haram he was doing was making Muawiyah even sad. Now this person is to be, na'udhu billah, Amirul Mu'minin, Khalifatul Nabi, to rule Muslim nation in the name of the Prophet and Quran. This is unbelievable. Muawiyah was not doing this. You know the poem which is very famous that Yazid recited? Actually, he himself composed this poem. لَعِبَتْ حَاشِمُ بِالْمُلْكِ فَلَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَزَلْ. He said, this Bani Hashim have made a trick. In order to have power and to rule, they claim that, you know, a revelation has come and, you know, Allah has chosen Prophet as his prophet. La khabarun ja'a wa la wahyun nazal. No revelation has come, nothing has happened. La'iba, this is a lu'ba, this is a game. Imagine a person who is thinking of Islam and Prophet like this, now is ruling in the name of Islam. And not only that, then he asks the true successor of the Prophet, the grandson of the Prophet, to endorse this. If he had left Imam Hussein alayhi salam, maybe it was something that you could tolerate. Imam Hussein could say, this is not Islam, I have nothing to do with this. But now he wants Imam Hussein alayhi salam to endorse this. And not only to endorse this, to pay allegiance, which means to support and to be under his command. Can you imagine? Imam Hussein, who represents all the virtues and purity coming from Prophet and Imam Ali and Lady Fatima, be at the service of Yazid, na'uzu billah. And this is why he said, مِثْلِي لَا يُبَايُعُ مِثْلَهُ. How can a person like me give bay'ah to a person like him? So, if Imam Hussein alayhi salam, na'udhu billah, you cannot even think like this, but if Imam Hussein was giving bay'ah to Yazid, because they were not happy with anything other than Imam Hussein giving bay'ah, they were not, you know, happy Imam Hussein is silent, they are not happy Imam Hussein goes somewhere and, you know, doesn't do anything, they wanted Imam Hussein to be part of their corruption, to be a follower and supporter, because this is the meaning of bay'ah. If Imam Hussein was doing this, then who would be able to understand what is truth, what is false, what is haqq, what is batil, what is Islam of the Prophet and what is Islam of Bani Umayyah? Imagine even today, after 14th centuries, people struggle and some people still don't find what is wrong with Islam and Bani Umayyah. Still some people don't understand. So, if Imam Hussein alayhi salam was not taking that stance, all the efforts of the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were lost, were wasted. And there was no new prophet to come, there was no new revelation to come. So we couldn't start this process again and say, okay, we send another prophet, we start it again. So this is one aspect, one dimension of man nasarahu faqad nasarani. Who helps him has helped me. Because Hussein has no personal business. Hussein has no personal issue here. Hussein is trying to defend my religion. إن كان دين محمد صلى الله عليه وآله لم يستقم إلا بقتلي فيا سيوف خذيني. This explains the idea of Imam Hussein, whether he said himself or someone said to explain his view. It's very beautiful. If the religion of Prophet is not going to remain unless I am killed, illa biqatli faya suyufu khudin, O swords, come and embrace me. Or you know that Imam Hussein alayhi salam said that the only reason I have not accepted to pay bay'ah to Yazid and I have decided to resist is أريد أن آمر بالمعروف وأنهى عن المنكر. I want to enjoin the good. I want to prohibit the bad. I want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet. أسيرَ بِسِيرَةِ جَدِّي وَأَبِي. I want to follow the seerah of the Prophet and Imam Ali, my father. I want to bring Islah to the ummah of my grandfather. So, Imam Hussein alayhi salam played a very, very important role. And he did this in the way, this is a very important point, in the way that was unique. The amount of sacrifice that was needed at that time was maximum, was in a sense we can say is unlimited. A little sacrifice was not enough. If Imam himself was killed, was not enough. Other Imams were killed also. And it's not comparable to the tragedy of Karbala. In order to resist against these waves of corruption and darkness and falsehood and evil coming from Yazid, a great sacrifice was needed. Something that every person would be able to reflect and understand the truth. When you have maximum darkness, you need to have maximum light. Why Hussein is Misbahul Huda? Hussein is not just guidance. He is the light, the lantern of guidance. Hussein is a guide that has done his job so well that even a non-Muslim can understand him. A Hindu can understand Hussein. A Sikh can understand Hussein. Christians can understand Hussein. Why? Because he showed all the virtues in the way that it was not only understandable by Muslims, it's understandable by every human being who has good heart. What Yazid did was inhuman. And what Hussein did was human. So this is the battle between humanity and inhumanity. This is a battle between light and darkness. This is not battle between two groups of Muslims. This is very important, brothers and sisters. We should not represent the story of Karbala as problem inside Muslim Ummah. Then people say, okay, this is a domestic issue. This is your internal affair. It has nothing to do with us. You yourself have this problem with each other. No, this is not the problem between two groups of Muslims. This is the problem between the party of Allah and the party of Shaitan. This is the problem between the party of Haqq and the party of Batil. Between light and darkness. Between Fadila and Radila. And Imam Hussein did it so well that it's easy to explain it even to non-Muslims. You don't need to teach someone Islam and teach him, you know, theology, aqaid, all these things so that he understands who is right, who is wrong. You know, if today you want to explain to someone that, for example, whether Imam Ali alayhi salam was supposed to be the first successor or not, it's not easy to explain this to a person who doesn't know the history of Islam, he doesn't know the traditions of the Prophet. If you want to explain, for example, you know, who was to be the successor after, for example, Imam Ali, whether Muawiyah, for example, was right or Imam Hassan was right, it's not easy. It's very difficult. People should know all the things about history of Islam, about the position of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, how power was transferred. It's not easy. If you want to prove, for example, whether Imam Reza was right or Ma'mun, again, you know, you have to go into details. But the story of Karbala is different. The story of Karbala can be understood by any person who doesn't know anything about Islamic theology, who doesn't know anything about Islamic methodology of studying hadith, he doesn't know anything about Islamic model of politics, how power is transferred, he doesn't know anything about this, but he is just a good human being. Just tell him what Yazid and his army did, what Imam Hussein and his army did. This is not difficult to understand. And this is why people respond. This is why Sunnis, non-Muslims love Hussein. So, Imam Hussein alayhi salam made a historical sacrifice, and this sacrifice was so great that everyone who has good heart must show sympathy with Hussein. No one can say, I don't feel anything towards Hussein. As soon as they know what has happened, they cannot stop having sympathy with Hussein. And they cannot stop condemning the opposite party. So, this sacrifice, this great sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which involved his own martyrdom. I don't have time to explain that the martyrdom of Imam was very special. It's not just simply an Imam being martyred or killed. The way Imam was killed is very, very special. Then, along with Imam, some of the best people of the world were killed, including old people, including babies, and then the way they burnt the tents, the way they treated the Ahlul Bayt, all makes this tragedy, this sacrifice, a sacrifice which has no precedence and would not be repeated. جلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات. مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام. We don't need to have such sacrifice. It's not possible actually to have a second sacrifice like sacrifice of Hosea. He did the greatest sacrifice. But now it's our turn to benefit from this, to show our understanding, our commitment to what Imam Hussein alayhi salam did. Imam's aim was not just to give us opportunity to do something to get reward, which is by itself great. Imam didn't want us just to mourn and get some reward. No. Imam wants us to continue and benefit from the sacrifice in order to continue the job. What Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha did? She didn't just mourn for Imam Hussein. She didn't just cry for Imam Hussein. She understood that if she is silent, if she doesn't stress on the greatest problems of that time, then the whole sacrifice would be lost. The benefit will be lost. To do justice to the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, Lady Zainab had a great role. And we have also a great role today. We have to benefit from example of Imam Hussein for ourselves. And we can also represent the message of Imam Hussein to other people. If there are people today who don't know about Imam Hussein, who is responsible? If you make a kind of inquiry, how many people in the world today know Nelson Mandela? I don't know, maybe 70, 80, 90% know him. How many people know Sister Teresa? Maybe 80, 90. And these are good people. These are people who have done some sacrifice for humanity. But can we compare the sacrifice to Imam Hussein? No. But how many people in the world know Imam Hussein? And we have had more than 13 centuries of time to publicize, to do, you know, campaign, to introduce Imam Hussein. If they don't know Imam Hussein, if they don't relate to Imam Hussein, if they don't benefit from Imam Hussein, who is responsible? Can I put the blame on media? Can I put the blame on non-Shia? No. I should put blame on ourselves. We have not done enough. Not because we have not done enough for Imam Hussein in the form of gathering and having functions and programs. No, alhamdulillah, we have done a lot. We have spent lots of time, lots of thinking, lots of planning, lots of work, lots of money, resources, everything, alhamdulillah. But not enough in the orientation. We have only benefited ourselves. We have not shared Imam Hussein with the people of the world. We have found something very good, something very special, and then we try to keep it for ourselves. Maybe unconsciously. I'm not saying we did it deliberately. But you know, we were so impressed by Imam Hussein. So much, you know, we fell in love with Imam Hussein that we forgot that Hussein is for humanity. And not only for humanity of this age, humanity for all the generations, because Hussein is to become the point of reference for Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. How can Imam Mahdi refer to Hussein and say that I have come to ask for compensation for the blood of Imam Hussein when people of the world don't know Hussein, don't know who is responsible for Hussein, and the responsibility of the people who were involved in killing is not accepted by the people who are living at that time. This is a point that I don't want to go into details, that how does it make sense that you ask for revenge from the people who were not there and they didn't know about what happened? This is an explanation that, if you are interested, please refer to that lecture's connection between Imam Mahdi and Imam Hussein. In any case, for Imam Mahdi to be able to function, to refer to Hussein, we should prepare the ground. And that is by introducing Imam Hussein to the people of the world. But in the way that they appreciate, they understand, they can relate to, not in the way that we have been doing traditionally for ourselves. We have to find out what are the best methods of sharing the beautiful teachings of Imam Hussein, the beautiful examples from his life. Something that a person who is even an atheist would understand. Do you think Imam Hussein is only for religious people? No. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is for every person with good conscience. Imam Hussein said, when he saw that the people from the army of Umar al-Sa'd are attacking the tents, because you know, they were not sure whether Imam has actually died or not. So someone said, if we move towards the family of Imam, if he's alive, even if he has little energy, he would protest. So Imam alayhi salam, when saw that they are moving towards the tents, he said, إِلَّمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينَ وَكُنْتُمْ لَا تَخَافُونَ الْمَعَادِ فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. If you have no religion, you don't have fear of the hereafter, at least be hur in your dunya. What does it mean to be hur in dunya? It means at least follow your conscience. At least be a good human being. So Imam Hussein speaks to all human beings, not only to religious people, not only to Muslims, Christians and Jews. Imam Hussein speaks to every person who is still human. This is our responsibility to explain. Inshallah, tomorrow I will continue this discussion and see how we can follow the example of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and how we can, inshallah, share this with other people. Inshallah, to help me, please pray that I can do justice, and inshallah, think of the ways that we can, inshallah, do justice to this important mission. Tonight we remember Hazrat Ali Akbar, a person that was very, very much loved by Imam Hussein alayhi salam, not just because he was his son. Of course, Imams have great love for people. When it comes to their family, they love their family members more than us. When it comes to other people, they love them more than us. The love is not comparable to our love. The love that they have, some people think that if you are religious, if you are close to Allah, then you don't show that much love to people. No, this is wrong. Imam Hussein has love for his children more than ordinary people. If we love our children, say 10%, he loves his children 100%. How much Ya'qub loved Yusuf? The love of Imam Hussein for Ali Akbar was more. Something very special that you all know that Imam Hussein alayhi salam said about Hazrat Ali Akbar, when Hazrat Ali Akbar asked for permission, and you know that Imam without hesitation gave him permission. In the case of Qasim, Imam was very hesitant to give him permission, but when it comes to his own son, he gave permission. But then he said something very important. He said, "O Allah, be witness that a young man is going towards these people who resembles Rasulullah the most. Ashbahu an-nas bi Rasulillah. Khalqan wa khulqan wa mantaqan." I cannot think of any way of showing the resemblance better than this. He looks like Rasulullah in his body, in his form, in his khalq, in his creation, he's like Rasulullah. In his khulq, he's like Rasulullah. What was the khulq of Rasulullah? Innaka la'ala khulqin azim. Can you imagine? Wa mantiqan, the way he was speaking was like Rasulullah. Maybe, I don't know, maybe one reason that he went first, in addition to other reasons being said, that maybe if there is any Muslim among them who loves Rasulullah, would go away and would not be involved in killing of Ahlul Bayt. How can you kill someone who is progeny of Rasulullah and looks exactly like Rasulullah and speaks, the tone is like Rasulullah? Even Imam Hussein says, whenever we missed Prophet, we used to look at him. Imam Hussein himself is closer to Prophet than his son. And he had seen Rasulullah, lived with Rasulullah, but so much Ali Akbar was looking like Rasulullah that said, whenever kullama ishtaqna, whenever we wanted, we were willing to see Rasulullah, we were looking at him. But these people were so bad, so vicious, that even they didn't take this into account. This is a poem that is said in Farsi, and I thought I'd share with you, and inshallah translate. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بغيت وبغي الليل والنار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين حسن تصوير النبي جلوگر از آینش عطر گلزار ولایت دمد از یاسمنش. You could see in the face of Ali Akbar as a mirror the beautiful face of the Prophet. You could smell from Ali Akbar beautiful fragrance of Ali. تیرها در صف پیکار به تن بال و پرش تیغها شانه به گیسوی شکن در شکنش
He received so much of arrows that they were like feathers of the bird. تشنه لب بود ز میدان به حرم تاخت فرس تا مگر آب داد حجت حی زمنش. When he was very thirsty, he went towards Imam Hussein so that maybe Imam Hussein can give him water. لاله آرزش از خون جبین تر اما بود چون چوب خشکی دو عقیق یمنش. His forehead was wet by his blood, but his lips were very dry. این سؤالی است اگر بود علی تشنه آب بود در چشم فرات آب روان موج زنش. There is a question the poet asked, if he was really interested in water, why he didn't go towards Euphrates? Why he went towards Hussein, knowing that Hussein has no water? Then the answer is this. آتش او آتش لعل لب بابا بود که مگر باز دمد روح ولایت به تنش. علی was thirsty but not thirsty for water, he was thirsty for Hussein. He wanted to kiss the lips of Hussein so that he can receive the spirit of Velaya again from Hussein. شاه گرفتش به بر و ناله زد از سوز جگر. شرر دل زدان سر زد جای سخنش. گفت بگذار زبانت به دهان برگیرم به مکم سیر که آبی رسد از قلب منش. حسین علیه السلام took the tongue of Ali in his mouth. And this was the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped Hussein to meet again Ali Akbar. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalameen. Wasayalamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun ghalabin yan-ghalibun. Inshallah, Muhammad wa Muhammad.
We are going to have a presentation, so...